those who've been with us this year, we know we've been in a year-long series called The Story of God's Love, but today I thought it'd be a good day to take a break from that because it's an important week in the life of lots of our families and certainly in the life of our church as we celebrate Thanksgiving, an important holiday that I think is worth spending a few minutes talking about. So, you know, sometimes it's a little bit hard to know how to give thanks for something. Like if someone comes up to me maybe after a service or some other time and expresses appreciation for something I've done, a message I've preached, all those kinds of things, it means a ton to me. But I don't always know exactly how to respond to that because usually I'm thinking, I appreciate that, but I could have done a lot better, right? If I had this another shot, I think I could do it better. But you don't want to minimize what someone has to say. So if it was meaningful to them, then I want to acknowledge that, but I also don't want to sound arrogant, like, well, yeah, it turned out pretty good. I mean, there's all kinds of pitfalls there for me, right? And maybe you know what that's like. Giving thanks can sometimes be a challenge in lots of different areas of our lives. You know, for instance, maybe someone gives you a gift. I mean, it's not a big deal, but they give you a gift unexpectedly. It's not your birthday, it's not Christmas, and it's like, well, of course, you respond by giving thanks. But now you got that weird thing of like, do I owe them a gift somewhere along the way? Am I supposed to respond to that? Was the thank you enough? Is that sufficient? Imagine if it is something extravagant. Let's say someone that you know won the lottery and they give you $1 million, okay? That's a good day, all right? You would thank them for it, but it's like, okay, like what is sufficient thanks for someone giving me $1 million? I mean, do I go down to Walmart and get one of those 10 thank you cards for $5 packs, right? You know, thanks for the million. That seems, are you supposed to buy them a gift? I mean, they just won $250 million. What are you gonna buy that's gonna mean anything? How do we give thanks for something extravagant? And that leads us to think about God. I mean, how do we sufficiently thank this God who gave us life, who in the midst of our sin chose to send his son to die on a cross so that we could be forgiven and have eternal life? What do you do in response to that that could be anywhere near sufficient? It's really hard to imagine. But the good news is Scripture helps us out with that. In fact, we could turn to any number of passages in the Bible that help us understand the proper way to respond to this God who has given to us in such lavish ways. And today, the place I want us to turn is Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Bible. It's in the law, so you got the first five books are the law. And this is sort of a retelling of the law. In fact, the word Deuteronomy means second law. So Moses is preparing the people to enter the promised land. We talked about this early in the year. The people of Israel were in slavery in Egypt. God led them out of slavery through the Red Sea, that big story, and he's taking them to the promised land. But when they get to the very edge of the promised land, the people get scared. They're afraid. We can't take this land. There's giants in the land, and there's no way we can defeat them. And God says, what you lack is not strength. What you lack is faith. And because of that, you're going to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. Generations are going to pass, and all the men who refuse to go into the land, every one of them is going to die before you do actually get into the land. And so for 40 years, the people wandered around, living in tents, looking for sufficient water for hundreds of thousands of people. Occasionally, they would run completely out, and God would have to provide miraculously. Surviving for food only on the manna, sort of bread-like substance God provided every day, and the occasional quail. And it was more like survival than thriving. And really, God, I think, intended it to be that way. But by the time we get to Deuteronomy, I mean, they can almost see the promised land once again. And Moses is preparing them for how they are to live in this land that God promised. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 8, in verse 7, we see him saying these words. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. So it's a good land. What does that mean? a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. Moses is saying, listen, this land that God is providing for you has everything you need. For a people who have been constantly searching for sufficient water for decades, Moses says, listen, you're going to have all the water you could possibly need and more. And a people who were surviving on very little, now he says, you're going to have crops you can grow, herds you can tend, all the stuff that you need again. You're going to have plenty of food in this land. You're going to have the natural resources that you need to provide protection for your cities and for yourselves. Everything you need is there. Okay, this is God's blessing for you. How do you respond to that? If God is giving you everything you need, how do you respond to this God? Verse 10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. So how do you respond to God's blessing of this incredible land that he's providing for you? Moses says, you praise him. You praise God. And that's what we're gathered here for today. And if we look in the history of Israel, we see a great tradition of praising God. In fact, we have this big book right in the middle of our Bibles called the Psalms, the longest book in the whole Bible, 150 songs that were written for the people of Israel to use as they praised God. Lots of different purposes of those psalms, sometimes crying out to God for help, sometimes even complaining to God about the way things are, but almost always coming back to praise over and over again. And so they used these songs for centuries to do exactly what Moses told them to do here in Deuteronomy chapter 8. When you go into the land and experience the overabundance that God's going to provide for you, your response should be praise. What else? Verse 11. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So what does he say? He says the second way that you give thanks to God is you obey. Now, Moses is still in the process of giving those commands. Again, this is part of the law, but when it would be finished, there would be 613 commands. Some thou shalt, some thou shalt not. And Moses says one of the ways you give thanks to God is you obey. You do what God says. In fact, it's a daily reminder. Following all of those laws and instructions, every meal you ate was in line with the law. Every way you did business, in line with the law, dealing with your health, in line with the law, all that. It's a constant reminder that we are a people set apart from the rest of the world, different from everyone else because we worship the one true God. This should be a reminder, but once you get there, you may forget. I mean, there could be, you know how the generations work. There's this generation that wandered around in the wilderness, sort of surviving, not thriving, and now you move into the land and everything is provided for you. You have everything you need, and the next generation that doesn't remember that lack may not remember God. And Moses says, even when you get accustomed to all this, even when it becomes normal to have all the water that you and your family need, where you can grow crops and you can find natural resources, even when that becomes commonplace, remember God and allow these commands and decrees to govern your life so you remember who you are. You belong to God. And then Moses goes on to sort of recount some of the things that God had done for his people. He lays out what it's like for God to save them all the way back to Egypt. All those things are laid out. And then we pick up again in verse 17. And he says, "You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today." Remember the Lord your God. Because even though you may go into this land and you might even become wealthy off the land, and you'll look back and say, "Man, I have really worked hard for this. I mean, I have worked hard among the fields, and I have worked hard in the midst of my flocks, and I mean, this whole life of working hard has rewarded me. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've accomplished." And you need to remember that it's God that gives you the place, but it's also God that gives you the ability to do the work. It's God that gives you the ability to accumulate anything. So all of this belongs to God. And all of this can be traced back to God. Now, that's what Moses commanded the people. As he knew his life was coming to an end and they were about to enter the promised land without him, this is what Moses instructed them. But that's a long time ago, in a very different world, a different language, and a different culture. What do we learn from it today, hundreds and hundreds of years later? I think we learned this. Thankfulness allows us to respond to God's blessing. Thankfulness allows us to respond to the fact that God has given us so much, that he's given us life, sustained that life, forgiven our sins, offered us eternal life, and we could go on and on and on. Thankfulness allows us to say something in response to God. And the message from Moses is, here's the things God wants. Now, we look at it and say, it still feels a little insufficient. It doesn't feel like enough. But Moses was telling this ancient people, and I think through them to us, that this is exactly what God wants from us. And how does this work out? Well, I think a couple things, just like what Moses told them. Part of showing this thankfulness to God is we praise God. Now, we've gathered here today for that purpose. We are praising God today. And you know, the ancient Israelites responded to Moses by writing 150 songs. And in fact, we sometimes use those even today. Occasionally we'll read one of those, but a lot of times the songs that we have today may find either their inspiration or even their actual words from those psalms. It's amazing how they speak to us all these centuries later, because human nature is still very much the same. And we may praise God for slightly different things, but our basic needs are still there, right? We still need food. We still want to live indoors. We need water. We want clothes to wear. All those things are still there. And so that language can be used. I read a psalm every day and encourage you to do that. Some of them will speak to you more than others, and that's okay. But even now, all these centuries later, they're still there being used for worship. But the good thing is, just like every generation of people who have followed God, we have creative people among us who take the words that we find in the Psalms and make them relevant to us once again through the music that's composed to allow us to worship with them, but also compose new things that speak to us in new ways and allow us to praise God for what he's done in our own day. And that is entirely appropriate. So part of what we do is we praise God. Second, we obey God's instructions. Now, we're not called to obey all 613 commands that we find from Genesis to Deuteronomy. But in the New Testament, in Jesus' teaching, and the teaching that we find in the letters of the New Testament, we are given some instruction on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And it all begins, according to Jesus, with a command to love the Lord with all you've got and love your neighbor as yourself. And everything else really comes from that. So part of the way that we give thanks to God is by obeying those two things and then applying that to every single area of our lives. So if we're thinking today, how do I give thanks to this God who has blessed me beyond anything I could ask for or even imagine? We go back to Moses, talking to the people, ready to enter the promised land. And we praise him, and we obey. It reminds me of the story that we find in Luke chapter 17. In Luke 17, there are 10 men, and they seem to come from various places, different backgrounds, but they have one thing in common. They all have a disease called leprosy, a skin disease that would disfigure, but even more than that, it would isolate. Because according to the 613 commands that they were to obey, if you had leprosy, you had to separate yourself from the community, from your family, from your business, from everything, because you didn't want to infect anyone else. And it was pretty much there you sat. I mean, that was it. And so these 10 men, they've just sort of come together to have some kind of community, to have some friends, to help each other survive, but they saw Jesus. And they holler out from a distance, "Lord, have mercy on us." And that could only mean one thing in that moment, and that was healing. And Jesus said to go, "Show yourselves to the priests." Now, if you had leprosy, there's only one reason you would go and show yourself to the priest, and that's if you were well. And the priest would examine your skin and say, "Okay, well, he really is, or she really is, clean," and so they are released from this isolation and can rejoin the community and rejoin their family and do business and provide for your family, all those things. But in that moment, they were still suffering from leprosy. But they chose to go, which was obedience. And along the way, their skin was cleared up. They found themselves healed. And one of those men, just one, decided to return to Jesus to do one specific thing, to thank him. And so he fell down at Jesus' feet, just giving everything he had in thanksgiving, and Jesus blessed him. And it's noted that this one man among these people was a Samaritan. Now, the ancient Jews thought the Samaritans got everything wrong. Where they worshiped, how they worshiped, everything was bad about the Samaritans. But this man, Luke reminds us, this man, he got thanksgiving right. Because what did he do? He praised and he obeyed. And that thankfulness allowed him, like us, to respond to God's blessing. Let's pray together. God, we're thankful that you have blessed us in such amazing ways. And even though sometimes it feels really insufficient to say, well, we're going to respond to God's blessing through worship, it's what you've asked us to do, God. So we want to do it. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. For the next few minutes, we're going to do exactly that. We're going to spend some time praising God for the ways that he has blessed us in such amazing ways. We're going to sing several songs, and they're all devoted to giving thanks, to praising this God that we love. Let's stand together, and we're going to worship.